We're at 9:10. It's Tony and Melissa in the morning. We're joined here today by attorney Chris Matty, and he's with Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. Chris, how you doing this morning? It's good to have you here.
Hey, Tony, I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing over there?
We're doing okay. I hope you're staying safe.
We are. You know, if you hear, like, any screams or cries in the background, that's just my three kids who are home from school, so they're fine.
That's okay.
They love playing with each other, so they've been keeping each other occupied, which has been helping to keep my wife and I sane.
Okay, that's good. That's what it's all about. What is the impact having right now on the legal system with coronavirus?
Well, you know, we've, because of the governor's orders, really seen most legal proceedings be paused because of the concerns about coronavirus. And obviously, you know, our courts are places where, under normal circumstances, every day hundreds and of people are streaming in out for different proceedings. And because of the need to socially distance, I think the governor made the right call to essentially have all pending trials over the next 3 months continued. The same thing has essentially happened in the federal court system. So if folks had a case that was scheduled for trial in the near term, that has been pushed out. And now courts are really open only for the most critical of matters. So, for example, you know, if somebody has been arrested, they're entitled to a speedy appearance before a judge. And so criminal arraignments are proceeding urgent family matters, domestic violence, protective orders, things like that. People can get relief in court. But for the ordinary run of the mill case, the courts have essentially, and I think rightly, put those matters on hold. Now, that doesn't mean that lawyers aren't continuing to do their work. We are. So, you know, our office, which, as you know, our primary office is in Bridgeport. We also have offices in New Haven and Danbury. We transitioned to remote work very quickly, and I think most firms have done that. And so among the things that, you know, we need to do are, for example, depositions. These are proceedings where a witness is interviewed by lawyers and not in a court. Normally that happens in a conference room. But here we've been finding ways to do them remotely so that everybody can basically do it over a computer. It's not ideal, but we're all trying to find ways to continue to serve our clients. And certainly our office is doing that.
Yeah. And Chris, just back to the courts really quickly. I know that they have pushed, you know, anything that is not, I don't want to say non-essential, but like you said, unless it's a very pressing matter, even I've seen some that are, you know, murder cases in our area that have been pushed as well, have been delayed until April. Talk about a little bit in the courts. Are there rules in place that we've kind of heard about a little bit where if you're a family member or you're somebody who is watching your person stand in court, in front of a judge, are you allowed to still be in court as out of support or to watch cases? Has media been allowed into courts? What do you know what's going on with that?
Well, again, so the trials themselves have been moved. So, for example, if you were scheduled to be, let's say, you know, in the case that you cite, you've been charged with murder and you were scheduled for your trial this month, ordinarily, yeah, your family members could be there, the press could be there. But what the judiciary has done is said, look, for all those cases, they're just not going to happen. And so concerns about, you know, families being able to be there or press having access, you know, that's all been obviated by the fact that the proceedings themselves have just been canceled. Now, for the very urgent matters like the arraignments and some of the, you know, kind of protective order issues, I believe that the governor's order restricting gatherings to 10 people is still in place. That's obviously something that if you're involved in a case like that, you're going to want to check with your lawyer. But the courts are, in terms of their physical facilities are open. They're just very, very quiet because so few proceedings are happening.
Yeah, it's just a ghost town, just like anything else, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. As private industry is deployed to meet demands associated with coronavirus, can you discuss the importance of integrity in government and protection of whistleblowers?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. This is really timely because the Senate just last night passed essentially what they're calling a stimulus bill which includes a $500 billion fund, as I understand it, which will be used to make loans to private industry and other, you know, support to private industry. When you have that amount of money, taxpayer money, flowing from the government to for-profit enterprises to get them going, you know, there's always a concern about whether that money is being used properly, whether it's being obtained free from fraud. And so, you know, fortunately, they were able to negotiate for an inspector general as part of that bill, which, you know, will have the authority to investigate wrongdoing in connection with those taxpayer funds, and also, you know, the whistleblower protections, which are so very important, protect people who, for example, might be involved in, let's just take, for example, you know, one of the industries that is likely to apply for support is the airline industry. If there was an airline employee who saw that money being used fraudulently or otherwise, they could report that to the government. They would have protected status. Their job would be protected. There are other incentives for that person to come forward so that we can assure that this money, which is really supposed to be targeted to get the economy moving and to help distressed people and industries, gets to where it's supposed to go. And so, you know, there are, you know, our practice at Koskoff includes a whistleblower practice. There are others, but it's going to be very important in the months ahead to make sure that, you know, that money is protected and gets to where it's supposed to go.
Hey, Chris, we've run out of time, unfortunately. If people want more information, if they want to contact you there, what's the story? How do they go about it?
Yep. You can always contact us through the website, www.koskoff.com. All our contact information is there. We are monitoring that. We have people, you know, snapping the phones even during the midst of this. And so if anybody feels that they have a problem or something that they need to contact us about, they should feel free to do that. And I hope everybody out there stays safe.
Yeah, you too. You and your family, my friend. Your kids were very, very quiet, very respectful of the radio.
I don't know what they're doing. The TV might be on.
You better go check them. Make sure they're not burning down the house. Jace.
Right.
All right. Chris, thank you so very much. We'll catch up with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
All right. We're going to check in with the Connecticut Humane Society. That's coming up in just a moment. But first,
WICC 600, David Lerner Associates.